podcast of fictional mystery horror stories told episodically. I'm your narrator, Walter Williams III. These stories and characters are fictionalized and based on my life and the people in it. Episodes of the podcast may contain offensive language, uncomfortable subject matter, as well as descriptions of horror and gore. Tonight, we will be concluding the never-ending murder train. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy. Part 6. Unbreakable. Present timeline. It's late into the night, and a small car pulls into the empty golf field that's shrouded in light fog. A young Hispanic male comes out and walks over to the trunk. He pulls out a shovel and walks over to the nearby spot and starts digging. Enter Pabel. Short Hispanic male with long black hair, pale skin, and dressed in all black. As he digs, a young woman with blonde and brown hair walks out as well. Enter Emery. She replays Zarya's voice message on her phone. "Hey, this is Zarya. I'm sorry, but I wanted you to hear it from me. Shelton is dead. I can't even begin to explain, but please come home so we can get things in order." Pabel finished digging and walks over to Emery. He kisses her on her forehead, and then goes back to the trunk. He pulls out a body covered in an old quilt, Shelton's body. As Pabel walks it over to the hole, Emery asks, "Are you sure this is gonna work?" "That's why we're here, to see if it does." "How long is this supposed to take?"
"Usually 30 minutes, but it might be longer given how damaged the body is. Could be more time to heal."
Pabel lays Shelton in the hole and removes the quilt. Emery sits out Shelton's wheelchair in front of the car. Pabel covers the hole back up with dirt. He looks over at Emery and sees tears falling.
"Don't worry. I've given him all I have. Now it's up to him to find his way back. All we can really do is pray."
"Pray to who?"
"Pray to him."
The couple waits for about 60 minutes. Emery once again grows worried, but then Pabel perks up and walks over to the makeshift grave. He backs up and turns to Emery. "Brace yourself. Get in the car." Emery pushes the wheelchair to him and then runs back to the car. Pabel kneels down and feels the dirt.
"Come on, buddy. Climb up."
Suddenly, the dirt gets extremely hot, causing Pabel to jump back. There's a slight vibration in the ground, and then, boom, the ground explodes, opening up with so much force it launches Pabel back into the air, landing right past the car. Emery looks out of the car window and sees a blur running back and forth. The blur stops at the car door. Emery looks, and it's Shelton. He's steaming. His body is still burning, yet it's still healing. But it looks like it's melting in reverse. Pabel runs back and sees Shelton as he's reverting back to his old self, even standing on his own two legs again. Shelton looks at Emery and then opens his mouth, where two large fangs eject from the roof of his mouth. He punches the car window and grabs Emery's arm. As Emery screams, he bites into her with great force. Pabel runs over and yells at Shelton. He yells his name, and Shelton reacts and pulls away. Shelton begins vibrating as his body completely heals. At the Centennial Mental Institution, Walter wakes up, strapped to a chair, sitting in front of Savannah, with a clear glass box barrier between them. Savannah sits up, with tears in her eyes, and looks confused.
"Walter, wake up. I'm so sorry. I didn't know."
"Savannah?"
Walter tries to get up.
"Where's Eric?"
"Right here."
"Hello again, Walter."
"I'm gonna kill you. Where's Zarya and Javon?"
"Actually, I'm on my way to Zarya right now. As for Javon, he's not here."
"Liar."
"Now, when have I ever lied?"
"You think you're the devil, right?"
"The devil's a liar."
"I don't think.
I am. Walter spits at Eric.
Eric, what the fuck is going on?
I'm giving you everything you lost. Everything you've told me has led you back to him. All this hurt and pain, the reason you can't move past your hardships. He is the reason behind your mental deterioration. And now you get to take it back. Face him down. Stop that runaway train.
What the fuck are you talking about? Savannah, what the hell is going on?
I swear to God, I didn't know. Please, Eric, let them go.
No.
You need this.
We are so close.
Now I'm going to take care of Zarya. In the meantime, you two should talk. Hash things out. When I get back, Savannah, it'll be time to set you free.
Eric leaves the room while Walter tries to get out of his restraints. Begana begins processing while trying to figure out a way to break the barrier between them, but she's unable to.
Well, here we are again.
You're to blame me for this too?
Don't you dare.
Not right now, okay? I don't even know what's going on.
Your psychiatrist is a serial killer. He took my murder board and used it as a pattern or his design.
Zarya has been chasing him for 2 years. He's finally got her attention, and she came back to town to warn us. But the truth is, I think he led her here to get the rest of us.
And my guess is he got the idea from you.
No. No, I would never. I swear, I didn't know anything.
Savannah, Shilton is dead.
Savannah stops defending herself and covers her mouth with two hands. He nailed him to a wheelchair and set him on fire.
He rolled him down the hospital. Sound familiar?
Savannah looks over at the books on her bed. She immediately looks at Red Dragon. He dug up Mike's body and displayed him at the downtown library. He put Dante's Inferno underneath him and...
He read your book.
It was the first thing we talked about when I checked in.
Savannah walks towards Walter as close as she can.
He used me.
It's a little thing called psychic driving. He manipulated you into talking about us while making it seem like he was helping you.
He basically planted suggestions in your head to justify his own craziness.
Savannah grows red with anger.
He was right about one thing.
What's that?
This is all my fault.
My obsessions and my selfishness caused you pain. Jump Street, Mike, and now this. It all leads back to me.
What's funny is this whole time you blamed me and you never asked how I felt or if I blamed myself, which I did, but I could never blame you.
What are you saying?
Looking back, we're not so different.
But there's a clear line that keeps us apart. A key difference.
Is this the whole two halves of the same coin speech? If so, because I don't see it.
No.
I don't think we're two halves of the same coin. We are something else.
And honestly, this is a speech about jealousy.
You think I'm jealous of you?
No.
I'm jealous of you.
I've always wanted what you have.
What's that?
Attraction.
You've always attracted love and death, apparently.
Jump Street was for you. Mike killed our friends because he loved you.
Meanwhile, I only craved it.
Savannah and Walter look at each other, and together they begin to understand and accept their fates.
The train has stopped. The people left standing inside are Dante, Richard, and James. James tries his best to keep his composure and control his anger.
I don't understand.
Richard, did you do this? What is this?
I literally just explained it. James, to answer your questions, yes.
Am I dead?
Are we all dead? Are you? Yes, I am the devil. And what you thought was a simple train mystery? Yes, I am the devil. And what you thought was a simple train murder mystery was actually a manifestation of one of the circles of hell. That is, violence. Now, why are you here? Simple. You are not a man without sin. While you haven't murdered anyone, you did steal the golden ticket to be here, didn't you? James gets a flash of his own memory. He stole the golden ticket from one of his classmates. Oh my god. Call his name all you want, but he can't reach you here. Not anymore. This is between you and me. James looks at Dante. And you? I've traveled to hell once. As a result, I now work for it. The train was actually his idea, by the way. Dante smiles and walks over to the bar and starts making cocktails. Richard turns back to the burning gorilla. Now, if it isn't obvious, all of this didn't go as planned, but with that came an interesting development. The killer biologist was smarter than we gave him credit for. Sneaking a whole gorilla onto the train, like, who does that? If I had known sooner, I would have made the same deal I made with you. But if I'm being honest, you're much more interesting. Dante. Richard raises his hand in the air, and Dante throws a knife. Richard catches it. The flames in the gorilla die down, and Richard stabs it and begins to cut it open. Starting at the head and cutting down to the stomach, James once more vomits while Dante sips a cherry-flavored cocktail. Once finished, Richard reaches in and pulls out Angelica Lang's body. As she is pulled out, she gasps for air and begins to frantically breathe. There you are. Welcome back. What the hell? How did she... Don't worry, Mr. Ripley. She sold her soul a long time ago. And now it's time to pay. But that professor got in the way and tried to make her part monster. Good thing he's burning for it now. Richard drags her to James and sits her on her knees and lifts her head high. Richard presents the knife to James. Time to pay, Mr. Ripley. We made a deal. I showed you how the darkness and death can be beautiful. I have given you the inspiration you craved. Now you must show me what you've learned, and our agreement will have been honored. James stands there in hesitation. He begins to cry. I can't. I won't. This is wrong. I can't. Mr. Ripley, if you don't uphold the end of our deal, then you are cheating me. And I don't like to be cheated. James looks at Angelica's eyes and... It's 1951 in Memphis, Tennessee. The train station is busy like normal. A small blue and gold train pulls up at the station. The train stops and the people at the station are drawn to it. The passenger opens the door and streams of blood pour out from the steps down onto the pavement. A massive heat wave rushes out into the crowd. Then someone begins to walk out. This person walks down the steps and onto the train station platform. A woman begins to scream and sends everyone into a frenzy. This person was James, completely covered in blood head to toe. The train station security holds him at gunpoint. James puts his hands in the air, then they pin him to the ground and cuff him. A few minutes later, the local police investigates the train. Inside was something unimaginable. They found Albert and Harvey's bodies, as well as Kimmy Tosh. But it was when they found Angelica. Her body was found, with the skin off her back
and legs flayed and pulled out. They were in the shape of angel wings. Her stomach was hollowed out, and the entrails were used to cover her breasts and put into a halo above her head. Her eyes were carved out. Lastly, she was positioned in a prayer pose on the bar. Her head had a pentagram carved into it. That night, outside the station, the police sheriff is confronted by the FBI. Specifically, a tall man who introduces himself to be Javon Northman. Present timeline. Zaria awakens in a small white room with a light hanging above her. She's strapped down to a hospital bed and is unable to move. Then walks in Eric, wearing a white coat and gloves. The shine of the light reflected onto the lens of his glasses. Hello, Zaria. It was you. You killed Shelton. And many others, but that isn't important right now. What's important is helping you. I don't want your help. Aren't you tired of fighting, chasing? When will enough be enough for you? When Walter gets you killed? Think about your son. Don't you dare. Don't you dare talk about it. Let me go. Don't worry. I will. I'm gonna give you a new life. And then you're gonna witness something powerful. But first I need you to open your mind. Zaria tries to fight her way out of her straps. Eric picks up some medical tools. Are you familiar with an ice pick lobotomy? Zaria begins to scream as Eric turns to her with a hammer and a large needle. Let me show you how it works. Try your best not to move now. Eric inserts the needle into the side of her right eye and positions it. Zaria screams in panic and agony. Eric then uses the hammer and gives it a hard but small tap. There's a crack noise. Zarya's screams suddenly stop as she reacts to the pain. Eric then goes and hits again. But then, Eric falls over onto the floor. Zaria looks up and it's Javon. Javon removes the needle from her eye and unstraps her. Are you okay?
Yeah, I think so. Where did you?
Listen, it's gonna be okay. We got the place surrounded. We just need to get the others out.
Okay, let's go.
Suddenly, Javon feels a sharp pain in his ankle. He's stabbed in the leg. Knocking him down, Eric gets back up. Eric goes to grab Zaria, but she grabs a gun from Javon and shoots him right in the arm. Eric falls down.
Okay, let's go. Wait, before we go, I need something from you.
He shoots Walter, hitting him in the leg. He shoots Zaria in the shoulder. He shoots Javon, but Javon grabs his gun and shoots back. Moments later, Javon and Zaria exit the room and run through the hospital. Zaria leads them to the basement where Savannah's room is. Inside is Walter and Savannah sitting, waiting. Zaria and Javon bust in and immediately try to get them out.
Oh, thank God. Zaria, I'm so sorry.
Listen, girl, escape now, talk later. Javon manages to break the locks to the door to Savannah's room. She runs out, and together the group goes to make their way out, but Eric stands in the doorway with a gun. He hits Eric in the arm again. Eric then charges at Javon and stabs him in the leg. Eric grabs Savannah by her hair and cuts her. Now with everyone down, Eric grabs Savannah and places a knife in her hand. He then walks over to Walter and forces him on his knees and lifts his neck up high. He sits Zaria up and faces her towards them. He takes Javon's gun and then lights a match and then sets Javon on fire.
The scene is finally set. Savannah, I've kept my promise. Now you have to finish it. Kill him. He's the center of all your pain. Kill him now. Savannah takes the knife and stabs Walter in the shoulder. Walter screams in pain.
Wait, Savannah, don't, please.
Savannah pulls out the knife and goes for another stab, but then she drops it. No, I won't. Not like this, no. Savannah then goes to stab Eric, but misses. They both fall on the ground and Eric holds her at gunpoint. He gets ready to shoot her, but another gunshot sounds off, hitting Eric in the chest. It was Zarya. She shoots him. She shoots Eric 5 times in the chest until he's down. And then she shoots him 6 more times, unloading on him. She then reloads and continues to shoot. Once she's out of bullets, she falls to the ground. She looks around and the only ones staring back at her are Walter and Savannah. They all look over and see Javon's body burning, but the fire then puts itself out. He stands up and reveals his red glowing eyes. Holy shit. Javon walks over with his clothes beginning to melt off of him. A pentagram glows on his forehead. He walks over to Zarya and touches her eye. A pentagram then lights up onto her forehead. He walks over to Savannah and Walter and touches them both, but is unable to. Someone has already claimed you to. I wonder who. Don't worry, it wasn't God. That's all I know. Javon grabs Eric's body and reaches into it and pulls out Eric. And then he walks away. I'll see you soon. Javon looks at Walter and then bursts into flames and vanishes. This once again leaving our 3 survivors to walk out, not only alive, but forever changed.
Epilogue. 6 days have passed and our 3 survivors have been treated for their wounds and sent home. Zarya is getting ready to leave town again to finish her training and graduate. Walter has resigned to his house all by himself. And Savannah has been staying at a motel near the edge of town under police watch, courtesy of Zarya. Before Zarya can get to her car to leave, she gets a phone call. She's told that Shelton's body has been reported missing from the hospital morgue. And then at this moment, Zarya experienced a sharp pain in her right eye and head. She then gets a vision of clouds. For a moment, she believes she's gone blind. And then she finds herself in a desert. There are bodies everywhere. Bodies of people she knows and bodies of people she doesn't know. She sees Emery, Pavel, and Savannah. Suddenly, a sandstorm rushes over them. Then she sees Javon, well, now the devil, hanging from chains, and surrounded by him are animals with glowing eyes. A bat, a snake, an owl, a fox, a wolf, a coyote. Another wave of sand blushes over her, and she sees Shelton driving his arm through Walter, killing him. Finally, an image of Mike alive and well, crying and slow dancing with Savannah. Everything then goes black, and Zarya reopens her eyes and finds herself standing outside of her car. Crazy Train by Ozzy Osbourne plays on her radio. Meanwhile, Savannah sits in a motel room, flipping through channels. She's interrupted by a knock at the door and leaves the TV on the History Channel, where a documentary about the Egyptian gods is playing. She opens the door and it's a police officer, but he's bleeding from the neck. The body falls down, and standing behind it is Shelton, alive and well, standing on 2 legs with large fangs. He smiles, and in a
flash, he grabs her and speeds her outside into a parking lot, where all the police officers who were guarding Savannah laid scattered and dead. Standing in the parking lot is Emma Ray and Paul Bell. Behind them is a large black truck with the trunk open. Surprise! Get in, we're gonna bring your boyfriend back. They step aside and reveal Mike's body wrapped in a quilt. Last but not least, that night at Walter's house, Walter goes to his basement to grab a beer, but what he finds is the start of a new chapter. In his basement is a large murder board, but this time it's designed in a pentagram, and instead of people, there are states on it. Most notably, New Orleans, Texas, and Mexico. Suddenly, someone appears behind Walter. Walter turns to face them, and it's Javon, well, now the devil. I believe you and me have unfinished business. What's that exactly? We need to finish negotiating our deal. The end. And that does it for this season of The Murder Board. Tune in next year for a new horror story. If you like the podcast, please give it a like, leave a comment for open discussions, and share with family and friends. Also, consider supporting the podcast and helping sustain future episodes such as this by hitting the support button / link down in the show notes. Once again, thank you so much for listening. I can't thank you guys enough. I hope we've all enjoyed this story. I hope we've all enjoyed the season of the Murder Board podcast. New episodes will be coming soon, but for now, thanks again for listening, and happy Halloween.